It's been only weeks since long simmering tensions brought the relationship between the U.S. and Afghan governments to a low point. In March, National Security Advisor Jim Jones remarked that Afghan President Hamid Karzai was not doing enough to fight widespread corruption in the Afghan government. Just last month, a frustrated Karzai threatened to join the Taliban if the Obama administration didn't dial back the pressure. But this week, President Obama rolled out the red carpet for Karzai here in Washington. There were lots of smiles, no public barbs. But pressing issues and differences do remain. The increased U.S. presence in Afghanistan has now made that war more costly per month than the war in Iraq. And the U.S. military is preparing for another offensive in the Taliban stronghold of Kandahar. NPR's Jackie Northam recently returned from Afghanistan, and she's been following President Karzai's visit to Washington. She joins me now in Studio 3A. Welcome, Jackie.
Thank you, Jennifer.
If you'd like to join the conversation, give us a call. Our number here in Washington is 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. Jackie, the White House certainly made sure Karzai got the star treatment this week. Tell us about it.
Well, you're right. Absolutely right. It started right from the moment that his plane touched down at Andrews Air Force Base. And this was a U.S. Air Force plane that went and picked up Karzai and his entourage of about 20 cabinet members. He was met there by Ambassador for Afghanistan-Pakistan, Richard Holbrook. And it just went on from there. He met with very senior officials within the government. He was fated to many, many receptions and dinners and lunches. And they really rolled out the red carpet. And the highlight of it was yesterday when he met in the Oval Office with President Obama, and then they shared lunch and they had a press conference. Then later on yesterday, there was a dinner at Vice President Joe Biden's house. The thing is, this is a complete departure of how things have been, relations have been, certainly in recent months. As you were saying, they really reached a low probably just before he got here. And at one point, Karzai was making some very serious anti-Western, anti-U.S. statements that caused a lot of concern here.
Well, wasn't the very visit up in the air at some point?
It certainly was. Yeah, the White House spokesman Robert Gibbs alluded to it, that in fact, you know, if this trip happens and that type of thing. So again, relations between the two administrations were very, very rocky for quite a number of months.
So clearly a strategic change has happened.
Indeed. And here's the thing is that they obviously, you know, people that I spoke with, and it was pretty obvious anyway, that this pressuring Karzai, and particularly pressuring him in public and criticizing him and commenting, making comments against him in public, simply was not working. You know, I've been going to Afghanistan for a couple of years now. People that I've talked to there and very senior American officials that were there have told me that that is not how you get anything out of Karzai. You really have to coddle him. You have to be nice to him. You have to fawn over him. You have to show in public that he is your man. That's when you get the best out of Karzai. But if you start doing what the administration had been doing for several months, which is pressuring him, berating him in public, making it clear that you were not happy with him or his performance or that, it does not work. You get the worst out of Karzai. Somebody said it's like a rat in a corner. He just comes out, you know, battling. So
now Karzai's been there in office for quite a while. Was
yes.
this kind of a lesson not learned, or a change in strategy that just backfired?
Or a change in administration. The Bush administration had, I guess it was a good working relationship would be the best way to put it. The Bush administration was obviously absorbed with the Iraq war. And so they really just kind of let Karzai go at his own pace and that. And obviously things were going a lot better for many years in Afghanistan than they are now. When the insurgency picked up, when the Taliban started regrowing in strength and numbers, that type of thing, then there was more pressure on Karzai to do something, to show something for the money, for everything else that was being put into this country. And that really was the case when President Obama took office. He ordered a, you know, sort of a strategic review of what we've got looking here. And he really let the Karzai and his administration know that this is a new day here. We need, you know, we need to get some results and we need to put a timeline. We're not there for, you know, for years and years and years. We need to get this thing sorted out. And that's when the relationship between the two countries really started to change.
And I guess when you put more troops in as well, you want a little more assurance. oh, that this mission's going to work.
Oh, absolutely. Troops and certainly money, you know. And also in many ways, this is President Obama, this is his war now. He assumed this war, unlike Iraq and that. And, you know, so obviously he is determined that he wants to see results. He's that kind of guy. He's a results-driven guy. And he actually wants results pretty darn quick. I mean, he's starting to talk about that he wants to begin, and I'll underline that word, begin withdrawing troops in July 2011. And so he's really just propped up and just pushing this whole operation forward to see some results. But there are a lot of things that just don't lend themselves to quick results, you know, like building up good government in a country that's never had a central government. Well, not for many, many years anyway. You know, see reconstruction, actually construction. A lot of these places, like going back to the Stone Ages, for heaven's sake. So it does take time. There's a security issue. And I don't think Obama wants it all sorted out, or President Obama wants it all sorted out in a year or two. They understand this is for the long haul, but they just really want something from Karzai to say, look, we need some results here.
So he's had 2 days of being feted in Washington. But during the news conference yesterday, there was still a glimpse of some of the differences that do remain between Karzai and President Obama. Is that?
Well, indeed, yeah. And here on the U.S. side, you know, there are a couple of major things, and one of them certainly is corruption. You know, and this is what got, you know, the relations got off to a rocky start a few months ago, is that they were pressuring him to do something about the corruption. And Jennifer, it is pervasive. It's in every corner of his government and on every level, corruption. And so the U.S. had wanted to do that, and they brought that up. President Obama said that he is pleased, I'm paraphrasing here, but he's pleased that President Karzai had made some steps. So, okay, that had obviously come up in discussions. Government accountability on many levels, whether it be security or, you know, other services, just the roads are appalling. I mean, there and that sort of thing. They wanted to see a little bit. They want to see what U.S. tax dollar money, you know, is doing there. On President Karzai's side, big thing for him has been civilian casualties, you know, people killed by Western U.S. troops, that type of thing. And General Stanley McChrystal, he's the top U.S. and NATO commander there. He's made some great strides in doing this, particularly by calling off a number of airstrikes. Those were accounted for about 60% of the civilians killed. And President Karzai talked about, he gave the nod to General McChrystal yesterday. So these things came up, but certainly the peace negotiations. This is another thing that's going to come up in the future more and more. And both men sort of talked about that yesterday. And that is one area where you could see some light between them, let's say, some differences.
If you have worked in Afghanistan or have questions for Jackie, call us at 800-989-8255. Our email address is talk@npr.org. You mentioned these peace talks. I mean, Karzai, is it correct? He's moving forward to reach out to some elements of the Taliban already.
Yeah, he certainly has. And actually, but just back up, yes. And he's actually, this has caused a little bit of concern in the past, not only in the U.S., but in other areas too. He's always said that he will talk to his brothers, and that being within the Taliban, and that being even as high up, he has said, Mullah Omar, who is the head of the Taliban, essentially. And he's
How did that go over with the Obama administration?
Well, everybody, it causes some concern. I mean, his idea is being, we're all brothers, that's all trying to, you know, and it's very flourishing sort of rhetoric and that type of thing. But if, you know, if you're trying to catch people like that and bring them to trial, that obviously doesn't, you know, it doesn't make people very happy on
this
side.
So they want to bring Mullah Omar to trial, but he's also saying he'll speak with him.
Well, yeah, I mean, he's the head of the Taliban. Yeah, and so obviously, whatever they want to do, they want to capture him or whatever. He's believed to be living in Quetta, probably in Pakistan, in neighboring Pakistan. But he's also, you know, he's also talked to associates of Hekmatyar, Gulbuddin Hekmatyar, so that's a real mouthful. But yeah, thank you. But, you know, that type of people. So as you say, he has already started pushing ahead. He's already met, you know, with minor Taliban figures. And some Taliban people have already come over and that type of thing. Here's the thing, is that why this, you know, General McChrystal's counterinsurgency strategy is to go into a place like, you know, this upcoming offensive into Kandahar and essentially soften up the Taliban, if you like. What they want to do, and this is what President Obama said yesterday, is they want to break the momentum of the Taliban, and they need to do that militarily. And so they do not want President Karzai to go charging ahead on this reconciliation process until that is done. And then, and this is one of the reasons why it was a big thing that was discussed when he came here. He's already canceled, he postponed a peace jirga, which was going to all talk about reconciliation, earlier this month until he came to Washington. He obviously got the message from Washington. When he goes back, that peace jirga is going to get underway.
Huh. You know, you mentioned the pervasive corruption there. I'm just curious, you know, as a Westerner, maybe you would stand out there in Afghanistan, my blonde friend. But do you give us a sense of, do you see this? What kind of corruption? How does it affect daily life of Afghans?
Right. I mean, we have an Afghan staff there, and we know other Afghan people and that type of thing. And it really, it hits them in everything that they do. There was a study done there, and the average family there, 25% of their take-home pay goes to outpaying small bribes.
25%.
And whether that goes to, you know, going to get a driver's license, getting stopped at a road check, everything else like that. The curious thing was in the studies that they'd done, and just the sort of anecdotal evidence that you get from talking to people, they somehow don't really mind the little stuff because they know the cop's making peanuts. You know, they know this guy's making. What really seriously affects them, though, gets them upset, is when you have these ministers who are supposed to be making like $10,000 or $20,000, and you see the houses that they're living in. They're multi-million dollar mansions. They have, you know, that's when people get very upset. And that also is what loses their confidence in the government, their faith in the government, their trust, frankly, in the government.
Let's have a call. Nicholas is in Bowling Green, Kentucky. Hi, Nicholas.
Hi, how's it going?
Good. What's your question or comment?
My question is, I was wondering if the Obama administration was going to push heavily on the opium trade, or was they going to leave that aside for the moment?
Great topic. Thanks for calling.
Well, they have, in a sense, left it aside. What they're trying to do now is trying to do interdiction. They don't. It's a very curious problem that they have because they don't want to go and burn down all the opium fields or go after the farmers because then they know that they're going to lose the support of those people. So what they're trying to do is go after it when it crosses a border. They're trying to go after the people who produce, you know, the opium into heroin, all the labs, if you like. And what's interesting is has a lot of the efforts have actually shifted more towards the borders now and into different borders as well, because it's the military or the security people who are trying to, there's a pincher-like effect. And what it's done is they've just moved all these labs. It's a very, very active process that they've got going right now, but they are not trying to wipe out the opium fields. I actually just came across a report that the opium itself, there's a blight going on with the opium. So it's nature's way of taking care of this. But of course, the U.S. is still getting blamed for it. So
we're talking with NPR's Jackie Northam about U.S.-Afghan relations. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And Brady is on the phone from Sacramento, California. Hi there.
Hi there. How are you?
Good.
Good, good. I remember a story not too long ago that kind of reminded me of the Sons of Iraq, where the U.S. Army or perhaps intelligence was paying Karzai's brother for some reason, and I understand he's involved in the heroin trade. I was wondering if your guest here has any opinions on that.
Right, yes, this has always been a very, very touchy subject. He's the head of the provincial council in Kandahar, which is, of course, the Taliban birthplace and still the heartland, the stronghold of the Taliban. Omar Waqil Karzai, or AWK, as he's very well known. This has been a real problem, trying to figure out what to do with him. And as it stands right now, the U.S. has decided to leave him alone. This is one of the things that we believe came up during President Obama's visit there, what to do about your brother, President Karzai. He has long been linked, certainly, to the drug trade. There's no question. But there hasn't been any effort to really go after him at this point. And what they really feel that if they want, he is an elected member of the council. He's a leader of it. So he is a real politician, if you like. And they just, I guess the sense is now is they figure if they're going to do this huge Kandahar operation in June, July type thing, it's better just to leave him alone at this point because he's a warlord. He's extremely powerful. And frankly, if you remove him, you're going to replace him with another warlord. And that's just the way nobody's fingernails are clean down in that area, I can promise you, or in many, many parts, frankly, of Afghanistan, including Karzai's cabinet.
I think we have time for one more phone call. Michael is in Tucson, Arizona. Welcome, Michael.
Yes, hi. It's an honor to be able to talk to you. basically, I'm going to put in a few words. Let's put it this way. The reason we are there are, first of all, because we want to be right at the border with Iran, which, you know, if we're going to be there for a long run, we're going to have our bases in there. And second of all, they have many natural resources that we are interested in, mainly gas, natural gas. So given at the bottom, do we really care about the Afghans? No. It's basically all our interests. I don't think, you know, if Afghanistan goes into chaos like it has in the past, you know, it's not going to be beneficial to us. But at the same time, it's not because of them. It's because of what we want from them. And if you look at the history, we pretty much have been very nonchalant about how they have lived, you know, especially after the Russians left. We left the whole thing to chaos, and nearly a million of them killed each other without us shedding a tear, basically. So
right. Well, Michael, thank you for that call. So a note of cynicism there. Jackie, I'm curious, when you go to Afghanistan, do the Afghan people, is there cynicism as well? Do they think we're there for cynical reasons? Or,
well, you know, we're looking at the ninth year that the U.S. has been in there. It starts to look less like a liberation force and more like an occupation force. That part is certainly true. But there is a concern along of a lot of Afghans in many parts of the country that I've been to where they don't want the U.S. to leave right yet. They understand what's going to happen. I think I might dispute a couple of his points there, that the only reason we're there, or some of the reasons, is Iran. I think the bigger border that the U.S. is worried about, frankly, is Pakistan right now. And the reason that, you know, the U.S., one of the key reasons, too, is you don't want to let the Taliban back in because they might let the Al-Qaeda back in. I kind of always disputed that because I thought the Taliban was more of a nationalist type of group. If it's true, though, that this Times Square bombing has some sort of link, even if it's the Pakistan Taliban, they are sort of brethren in that. So I think they are there. Yes, there are natural resources. There's no questions. But I think if you're pouring this much money and, you know, troops into Afghanistan, I think the U.S. would be able to balance that up somehow. I think I'm not sure that's the real reason. No.
All right. NPR's Jackie Northam here with us in Studio 3A with an update on the long, tortured relations between the U.S. and Afghanistan. Thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow it's Talk of the Nation, Science Friday, and Paul Rayburn will be here for a look at hoarding and why some people collect more than they can handle, plus neuroscience and the law. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Jennifer Ludden.